Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Bottled in China. I'm your host, Emily Steckenborn, and today we're going to be joined by Carlos Sotomayor, the chef at Elefante. Elefante is a Spanish Mediterranean-styled restaurant here in Shanghai, part of the El Willy Group. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about Carlos's background growing up in Peru and how that mixture of Peruvian Chinese food was always prominent, but most importantly, his journey here in China and how he's kind of finding the best ingredients to make the best food here in China. Stay tuned and let's get started on this yummy episode. Firstly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here. So
great. And how long have you been in Shanghai so far?
Shanghai is going to be about 2.5 years.
Not bad.
December, yeah.
Yeah? And are you hoping to stay a little bit longer or?
Yeah, I'm thinking my time in Shanghai is going to be for another 2 to 3 years, maybe. Wow. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen. So I won't really plan.
And have you lived anywhere else in Asia or?
In Asia, no. But I was living in the U.S. for a while. I went to finish my studies in Germany, and then I spent a summer training in France to get my culinary diploma.
Okay, so you have a lot of influences right now, I'm sure, when you cook, and you have a lot broader perspective, and I think a lot of chefs, you know, probably do in their career. That's pretty exciting. So how did this all start off? I mean, where did the flame for cooking really come from?
It was funny, you know. I grew up in Peru. I'm originally from Peru. And, well, my grandma was a really good cook, and she was the one spending most of the time at home. When I came back from school, she was at home. And then I was interested in what she did in the kitchen, but I was never really cooking. It happened to me that when I was like 12, 13 years old, they sent us, my sister and myself, to live with my aunt down south because she moved to a city down south. And it's like, I like to eat. I do like to eat. I love eating. But I said to my grandma, hey, they're sending me down there, but you know, your daughter doesn't know how to cook. So I don't want to starve to death. So then she wrote me some recipes, which I wish I had that like 10 pages I lost for some reason, you know. But it was like the basic recipes to make a stew, to make like our coriander duck rice, to make like sauteed beef tenderloin, whatever. All these basic recipes that I needed to survive, apparently. And then my sister was the one helping me in the kitchen. And then I was just cooking because at that time I couldn't grab a raw chicken. I couldn't really like touch the bloody meat. Oh. I didn't like all that stuff. I was like, oh, maybe the onions are going to make my hand smell. The garlic is going to make my hand smell. No. So you prepare. And then I just move the spoon and I cook on the pot and I make it taste nice.
So you already knew you're going to be a chef, and you already knew you're not a chef without a sous chef. So you already got that down.
I think so. But at that time, you know, what's curious about it is I was in the middle of high school and I said, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to IT.
Okay.
So what happened, I went to university for a computer programming degree. And then I said like, oh yeah, cooking is my hobby. I'll do it later. Once I finish my degree, maybe I decide to go to culinary school and pursue a culinary degree. And then it's like, oh, after 6 months, I was enjoying IT. It was good. It was methodical. I liked it. We even developed a Minesweeper after that. It was cool.
Oh, wow.
I had fun. My mom is like, I think you're going to stay in IT. It's like, no, I'm changing to hospitality next semester. And she's like, I knew it. I told you were going to change. She's like, well, and then why are you so surprised? You know, like, I just don't see myself sitting on the desk after 5 years in university, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then I'd rather be like 10, 12 hours in a hot kitchen enjoying what I do. And then it was way more fun. No? So I changed. I'm the outsider that came into the hospitality major. I didn't know anybody. I knew a couple of the guys because normally first semester students already meet some people from other majors. And then when that happened, I just started taking all the elective courses in culinary things. So
you really immersed yourself
into F&B. That's what happened. So I was studying hospitality. I had to take all the hospitality management courses. But then you could decide where your major was going to, you know. So I took advanced Peruvian cuisine, advanced Chinese cuisine. I had a Chinese teacher. Yeah, she was really good. So we did mainly Cantonese, but then it was a good base to learn from.
Wow.
And then I was doing baking. I was doing pastry arts. And then I went into all the what they call gastronomy courses. So once I finished, I got a minor in gastronomy. So mm-hmm. I have a bachelor in hospitality and a minor in gastronomy. But then when I finished school, I went to Germany because I wanted to take a semester abroad. So I went there, studied for 6 months, and then I had already finished all the credits I needed. So it was just looking how they do F&B. So we had a wine society. We did wine dinners. It was very cool because it helped me see things from a different perspective, especially school was in English and I was living with like people that spoke only German. And then I learned German on the go, which wasn't that great, but I speak it mostly when I...
Survival language.
Coming back and forth for 6 years. In the middle, I went to a culinary institute in France called Paul Bocuse in Lyon.
Yeah.
So I studied there a summer program. An opportunity came up in Shanghai. This group of consultants that place people in Asia called me. It's like, Carlos, I know you contacted us a long time ago, but have you seen anything that interests you? It's like, no, so far, not yet. But then they told me, there's this position that really suits your profile. Would you like to try it? It's like, oh, why not? And then I met the director of this company here. And he said, I need to make sure you're the suitable candidate. And then that's how I came.
Two years
and a half ago, almost.
That's like a very long journey, but at the same time, so many different experiences happened, you know, where you were traveling around the world. It's pretty interesting. So for, you know, your grandmother's recipe, I'm still drawn to that. I still feel like your grandmother's recipe was the, you know, starting point of your culinary, you know, life. What are some of the meals that you still do to this day?
Well, it's mostly the home cooking. Mm-hmm. So in Peru, when you cook at home, you basically do stews. Hmm. So we do these coriander and beef stew. Then we do this yellow chili and chicken stew. Also like the soup base, what we call it. There, we have a soup that has rice, chicken, potatoes, a little bit of coriander. It's very hearty and a little bit heavy, but it's something good for a hangover. So that's
it's a hangover food. Your grandmother knew you so well.
I know. She looked into my future, you know. She knew I liked drinking and going out and party and stuff like that. But
oh my God. And do you serve that today or not at all?
In a different way.
Okay, so what's the twist that you have now?
So you need to do it more in like the bite size. And I remember we used to make, when I was in El Willy, when I arrived in China, we used to make lomo saltado. Lomo saltado is like that Chinese Peruvian icon. Because we had a lot of Chinese influence in Peruvian cuisine. Like we had a lot of immigrants in the colonial times. Mm-hmm. So the Spanish left and then we had a lot of immigrants down back in the 1940s, 1950s maybe. And they settled down in Peru. And then they brought their cuisine, basically is Cantonese. And then they mixed it with ingredients. So they brought the techniques and the ingredients. And then the icon is a beef tenderloin made in a wok, very hot oil, some red onions, some tomatoes, some chili, and then they add a little bit of red wine vinegar and soy sauce. So
that sounds really good.
And then we eat it with like with white rice and French fries. So in El Willy, we used to make that as a lunch dish.
Oh, really?
And it was actually quite popular in the sense that you have white rice that Chinese really enjoy, and then you have these Chinese-ish dish that is actually savory and salty and but at the same point a little bit spicy. So it kind of blended the culture. So we used to make that one.
And we were just talking about that earlier, that actually Peru has a really interesting food scene right now.
Yes.
Where you have, like we were just talking about, Japanese food, Chinese food, and their own local food. And that's super interesting, I think, because you know, it's kind of funny that you're now in China cooking, you know, in China.
Yes.
But at the same time, back home, there's a huge wave of interesting chefs that are kind of emerging and, you know, blending and having a fusion cuisine. What do you feel about growing up in Peru? Has that influenced how you cook and how you view Chinese food?
Well, when I was growing up in Peru, what happened is like as Peruvians, our food culture of about going out to eat was, is an important occasion, we book the restaurant. And then which restaurant should we book? You would book or grill barbecue restaurant, or you book Italian, or you book Chinese Peruvian, which we call chifa. And then, or you book Peruvian a little bit high end. And then it was not a big, big dining culture. Mostly if you would hold a dinner, you would do it at home. And then I guess because of the convenience and stuff, and then people became more knowledgeable, which I think is happening right now in China.
Yeah.
Because when I arrived, like, people are going out to eat, but then now they're evolving into understanding what they're eating. It's not just, I go to a foreign restaurant and it's fancy. I go to a foreign restaurant because I enjoy the kind of food they offer. Like, the flavors they have, I like. Before it was like, no, it gives me status. Okay. Now it's like, it gives me status, but I know what I'm doing, and I can demand for quality, or if this is not good, I know how to complain about it, which is good. And that happened in Peru. So nowadays, with all the emerging chefs and stuff, people understand a little bit more about fine dining, about the new trends, about bringing products from that we had in the jungle or in the highlands that weren't used before. And some of these chefs has really put them in place, you know, on a plate. And then people are really understanding, like, oh, it's not only the coast and the seafood and some beef and some chicken. Actually, you're bringing wild boar from the jungle, or you're bringing alpaca from the highlands, and you're putting quinoa, like this superfood that many people would see as something like, oh yeah, they eat in the highlands. And maybe we eat it in the coast, and then they would call us a little bit snobby because we weren't appreciating like the wheat, the quinoa, you know, barley, all these products we could grow in the highlands, and then the amazing varieties of potatoes that we have as well. So many of these things, when brought to the coast, some people would understand them if their family was from that part.
Oh.
But if not, if you grew in the city, some people didn't really understand. So nowadays, that's a great job that these emerging chefs are doing. So they're putting into place all these things that were knowledgeable for the rest of the world and for the Peruvians themselves, which is good. So now we appreciate more like what we can call the farm to table or producer to plate culture, which is good. And I think in China it's growing. We're getting more of like the organic produce and all these local producers that are trying to deliver a higher quality product. So it's growing, because of course us as chefs, and the big challenge that we have here is to get that really prime product to make a really nice food, because every meal in the end to be great, it needs like a good starting point, which is a product. You
totally
know?
Agree. Yeah. And exactly like you're saying, in Shanghai recently, and we saw that trend happen where it was just kind of more creating food and creating a nice plate. And now people are asking, okay, where does your chicken come from? Where do the eggs come from? And people are really proud of that when they have really good locally sourced ingredients. Of course, not from Shanghai, a little bit out of, you know, Shanghai. That's what they put on the menu. These are locally sourced from, you know, Yunnan, or it's from different areas. And just like that's happening in Peru, it's also happening out in San Francisco. People want to know where the food is from. They don't just want to eat it. They want to know where it's from. And they want to know that it's been, you know, there was thought put into where the food is from. And also, you know, for yourself, you were just mentioning it's kind of hard to find good ingredients in China.
Yes.
But what are some of the ingredients that you think really are really good in China? What are some of the ingredients or meats or food that you found in vegetables that are better in China than they are in somewhere else? Is there anything like that?
Well, it's different because it's challenging starting because of the taste, you know? Mm. Things here in China, for some reason, they don't taste the same as I would taste them in Hong Kong or in the US.
Yeah.
But it's like, I guess, the quality of soil, water, and all the factors. What I did in one of my first 2 weeks here, it was go to a Chinese market and see what the Chinese people would buy. So then you would see these people buying like the bok choy and the fish and stuff. And like for some reason, the fish seemed dubious. But then when you see all the greens and the eggs, like the tea cooked eggs and stuff, it's like for some reason they might eat them and they're healthy and they feel fine. They come here at 7 in the morning. So all these green culture, you know, it's interesting because all these array of products you don't find, all the tofu and the different kinds of tofu you cannot find anywhere else, and it's good. When I went to Guangzhou, also in the market, the same thing. And then all these kind of dry mushrooms, dry fish, dry seaweed, you know, all these things. It's interesting because they can add something to your cuisine. I think it's good about China because mm-hmm. they have all these range of products that you cannot find anywhere else. But at the end of the day, they can add a different twist to your cuisine and actually make it more attractive to the local market.
Actually, that's a really good point. I think that's an interesting point for any foodie. When you first come to any city or if you're traveling, go to the food markets because that's where you see how the ingredients really are in their raw form. But also, just like you said, maybe there's something that you see is completely different and that could be added to a dish and that, you know, highlights the dish. A little bit more about kind of Elefante and the whole El Willy group. You know, can you, maybe some people don't really know the El Willy group, so can you break it down for us? What's the vision and idea and the different restaurants that, you know, you own around Shanghai?
Oh, yes, so. Yes. Willy's from Barcelona. He's the owner, chef owner of the group, but he came to China to work for Torres Wines. Mm-hmm. So he came as a chef for the Torres events. So what happened is he got a chance some years ago to open his own restaurant called El Willy. And then he opened it in Donghu Road, the place where Elefante is now. And then after being 3 years, 3 to 4 years down where Elefante is, he found some partners and he was finally able to open El Willy on the Bund. So when he opened El Willy on the Bund, he has transferred El Willy. Mm-hmm. And then in the space where Elefante is, together with his partner, who is a Japanese guy that owns different restaurants also in Shanghai, he opened Elefante. Mm. And then now we have the two restaurants. Then years later, he opened El Cocktail and Bikini, which used to be a sandwich shop and one of the iconic cocktail bars. But unfortunately, we had to close like this year. But then 2 years ago when I arrived, we opened Tomatito, a small tapas bar, and El Ocho.
Mm-hmm. Which is now in the little area, which is booming.
Yeah, it's Taixinglu.
Oh, there you go.
And then I think the complex is called Tangyuan. No, it's like a garden. Yeah,
it's something with a garden. Yeah, there's a lot of those in Shanghai.
I know. But it's like, yeah, it's in Taixinglu and there's many restaurants growing down there. And it's good. It's great. It's pretty busy and everything. And it's nice. And in the process, we also have two restaurants in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. One called Fofo, which is like the more fine dining Spanish, and then La Paloma, which is a tapas bar as well. And then later this year, we're going to open in Manila.
Wow.
Tomatito in Manila, another tapas bar in Manila.
This is really growing.
Yeah. Like to call it the group, like El Willy is the more Spanish. Then Tomatito is the more casual tapas, mm-hmm. Quick bites, some drinks and bites, you know, kind of thing. And then Elefante, now it's a Spanish base, but it's more Mediterranean. So we have some influence also from Greece, Morocco, Italy, France, you know, and South Spain, all this. So it's good. And then, well, the cocktail bar, like El Ocho, I would say it's more like the Japanese. We also have some bites in there, you know, so it's cool.
And I think the common thread through all of these that you just mentioned is they're all really cool, hip, really tasty. You know, you can go to any one of them and you know you're going to have a great night because the food is superb.
Yeah, like Willy likes to call it sexy, you know?
Yeah, well, that's true. Actually, that's a good word for it. I really think all these restaurants are streamlined really sexy, right? The vibe about it, the food, the cocktails you eat or that you drink. And I think what's really interesting is that it's really maintained a quality over years in Shanghai. And that's really difficult in China. You know, you see a lot of restaurants opening and closing, but ones that stay open, that's should get a medal on its own for a couple of years. And really, El Willy has grown into quite a really big name in Shanghai.
Yeah, I think that also was helped because he was one of the pioneers in bringing Spanish cuisine down here.
Yeah.
And then people didn't know about it 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So now that he has settled, then many other people are going to try to come do the same. But it's not that you were the pioneer. And then that helped us. And then just maintaining the same quality and consistency, that also helps a lot. And it's good because I share his concept of casual fine dining. You can go for a very nice meal, but you don't have to be uptight with the white tablecloth. Mm-hmm. You just go there, you want a really nice meal, some good service, and then enjoy the experience, you know?
For sure. So, you know, going back to kind of how you cook, I think it's still really interesting because, like you said, Elefante is a little bit more like Mediterranean, styled with, you know, Spanish influence, etc. And one of your core dishes is the suckling pig, right? Yes. From what I know and from what I've tasted, it's a suckling pig. And, you know, was it difficult to find that? Because China, always we talk about ingredients, and China is kind of interesting. So was it easy to find?
Yeah, the suckling pig is easy to find, and we get a really nice quality local one.
Yeah.
The trick about it was the curing process. So we need to season the pig one day in advance.
Okay.
And then so it really gets all this flavor, and then the method of cooking, and then just guarantee that you have the crispy skin and then all the juice inside. So it was about like finding the right size and the right producer, and then he has delivered to our door.
And what about, just my last question is, to get suckling pig like that, obviously the weather in Shanghai is not always ideal. It's very humid, for people that don't know. It's extremely humid in Shanghai. It rains often. It's not, you know, super sunny, but does that influence the suckling pig?
Not really. It's more about the conditions inside the kitchen, I would say.
Okay.
Like, to get the final product like that. Because, of course, we just get the pigs ready, we just clean them up, butcher them, and then after that's done, it's just about the cooking to guarantee that you get the same quality and consistency there.
Hmm. And my last, this is really our final question because we're tight on time. My last real question is, what's your favorite Chinese dish?
Oh, you can ask my cooks and they're going to say Carlos likes fried rice. Carlos likes fried noodles. Mm. He likes like the potato strings with chili. And then basically it's more or less that. And they're going to be, and he likes xiaolongbao. That's all Carlos eats.
And have you ever tried to make any of those in your kitchen?
Yeah, I've tried that, but only for my personal indulgence.
Great. So obviously, just for our guests to know, you know, where can they find you? How can they contact you? And where is your restaurant, Elefante, so that they definitely can reserve a spot to enjoy?
Oh, okay. So if you ever come to Elefante, you can always ask for me. I'm Carlos. It's very easy. Chef Carlos, yes, I'm here. And then we're located in Donghu Road, number 20. It's close to Huaihai Road in the French Concession. If you want to write me an email, it's carlos@el-elefante.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's it for today's episode. But it was such a really great experience just sitting here and listening to all these great, you know, food stories from Peru to US to Germany, France, and of course now to China. So I wish you a great, you know, a nice, beautiful trip along your China journey. And I hope it doesn't end because there's a lot more great food that we're hoping to eat at Elefante.
Awesome. Thank you very much for having me today.